Earth Earls Are Easy, Lords of Dystopia, Book 1. Written by Catherine Stein. Narrated by David Lane Pusey. Prologue. Wyatt Hartford had left Earth only 7 minutes ago, and already he was homesick. Or maybe real sick. The smaller the blue-green orb outside the window became, the more his stomach churned. He was going to hurl, puke, cast up his accounts.
What if we never see grass again?
He fretted.
Or water? Are there even animals on Mars? What if I never see another squirrel?
A sniffle and a snort sounded behind him, and Wyatt glanced down at his companions. From his perch on the window ledge, not quite 2 meters up, they looked small, as if they too were slipping further and further away. The littlest boy, the sniffler, sat on the beige carpet, clutching a faded red plush rabbit to his chest. 2 older boys occupied the grey utilitarian chairs that took up most of the space in the grey utilitarian room. Everything on the ship was beige or grey. Wyatt was never going to see colours again. His gaze flew back to the window, locking on Earth's brilliant blue oceans and islands of green. Tears began to gather in his eyes. They had to leave. He knew they had to leave because their people needed to be safe. But even with London in ruins and Eton a bombed-out shell, Earth was still his home. Earth was the place he could feel grass beneath his feet or the chill of raindrops on his face, where he could watch animals run and play, having babies and making new homes for themselves, in spite of the stupid humans who had mucked everything up.
Come down from there, Windborn!
At 16, Leo Northbridge, Duke of Moreland, possessed a commanding baritone voice that made Wyatt cringe at his own 13-year-old squeaks. Moreland was dressed in a 3-piece suit, as if he were already an adult, and he sat like a king on a throne, head high and shoulders square.
We have business to discuss.
Wyatt ignored him. It was bad form to ignore a duke, especially his duke, the head of Earth's Chamber of Parliament, of which Wyatt was now a member. He really should have paid more attention in his politics and policies of the Empire class.
Fuck off, Moreland,
growled a surly but still boyish voice. Ryan Brandt, Marshall House golden boy and all-round arse, sprawled in the other chair, directly facing the Duke he'd just insulted. Ryan was Wyatt's age, and they'd had a few classes together. In Wyatt's experience, Ryan Brandt despised everyone and everything, even the ostensible leader of their sad little group, it seemed. Wyatt grimaced. At least he hadn't cursed at Moreland.
Don't speak to my cousin like that,
cried the little boy. His pale, tear-streaked face glowered up at Brandt. His blue eyes flashed with fury, and he brandished his bunny plushie like a weapon. Wyatt didn't know the kid, but he certainly had spirit. Maybe they weren't doomed after all.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ryan sneered. I should have said, fuck off, your grace.
The little boy hopped up and swung his toy, smacking Brandt right between the eyes. Before Brandt could retaliate, the boy scrambled up into the Duke's lap. Moreland's usually rigid expression softened, and he hugged his cousin.
Easy, Aubrey. He's one of us now. Starting today, we're all brothers.
He's mean,
Aubrey began to sniffle again.
I hate space. I want to go home.
There was no home anymore. Nothing but a mess of wars and natural disasters. The feuding corporate states would kill everyone to get their hands on a few dwindling patches of coal. Evacuation was the only rational choice. There is no home, Wyatt repeated to himself. Eton was the only residence Wyatt could remember, but it had never really been home. He had no family, no friends. As heir to the Earl of Windborne, he'd been isolated, even from the other boys in Innovation House. He'd had extra training, extra work, and little time for socialising with anyone other than the peers who came to teach him. Those men were all dead now. He was Windborne.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?